The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter number 27, Text number 9, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on December 29th, 2016, in Melbourne, Australia.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sa anubandhe, cha dehe, asmin akurvan, asat agraham, yanena drishta, tatvena, prakrite, purushasya, cha. Sanubandhe cha dehe smin akurvandasat agraham janena drishta tatvena prakrite purushasya cha sanubandhe sa jehe smin Akurvanna sat agraham Kanena drishta tatvena Prakrite purushasya cha Sa anubandhe With bodily relationships Cha And Dehe Towards the body, asmin, this, akurvan, not doing, asat agraham, bodily conception of life, jnana, through knowledge, drishta, having seen, tatvena, the reality, prakrite, of matter, purushasya, of spirit, cha, and, translation and purport, by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. One's seeing power should be increased through knowledge of spirit and matter, and one should not unnecessarily identify himself with the body and thus become attracted by bodily relationships. Purport. The conditioned souls are eager to identify with the body. They consider that the body is myself, and that anything in relationship with the body or possessions of the body is mine. In Sanskrit, this is called ahang mamata, and it is the root cause of all conditional life. A person should see things as the combination of matter and spirit. He should distinguish between the nature of matter and the nature of spirit, and his real identification should be with spirit, not with matter. By this knowledge, one should avoid the false bodily conception of life. One's seeing power should be increased. So, sometimes we say that we're blind because we're caught up in material consciousness. But here it's explained that actually you can see, but you have to increase your seeing power. Because actually we are seeing the material nature right now. That is also Krishna, His inferior energy. So we're already connected with Krishna on one level. Like Papa told us in San Francisco. He says, you're all seeing God because Krishna says, I'm the light of the sun and the moon. So it's simply a matter of increasing our seeing power, and that is called Shastra Chakshus, one who sees through the eyes of the scriptures. Our present vision is very faulty. We see one thing, but actually we're not seeing it fully. We perceive in one way. Seeing also means all of your senses, not just the eyes. It's like you say, well, let's see how the prasadam tastes today, you see. So seeing refers to all the senses, actually. So here, seeing power refers to every ability of the senses, the various senses. So one has to go beyond his perceptional level of being absorbed in the material nature, coming to the point of being able to perceive Krishna. And Krishna makes it very easy. He says, I'm the taste of water, the light is sun and the moon, I'm the sound and ether. We learn how to experience Krishna in everything. And we learn how to connect everything with Krishna by offering it to him. It's very important here. Prabhupada talks about one who identifies with the body sees the possessions of the body as mine. But what do we actually claim as mine, you see? We come with nothing. We come naked, we go naked from this world. In the beginning we say, mine, and we fight. This is my country, this is my house, this is my wife, this is my bank balance, my body, maya. Actually, we have nothing that we can actually claim to be ours. The only thing we have is the false conception. That we have, the false conception that things belong to me. So that tendency to possess, that should be transferred to Krishna consciousness. Because when one fully gives himself to Krishna, then Prabhupada explains that Krishna becomes the property of that devotee. In other words, Krishna is fully willing to reciprocate with you. As much as you give yourself to Krishna, he will give himself to you. So actually, that should be our only possession, Krishna. And that comes according to the degree of our surrender. Ye yata mang prapadyante tangstataya bhajam yaham. Inasmuch as they surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. So how much reward do we want? A little bit? How much Krishna do you want? 1%, 2%? We get Krishna, the association of Krishna, to the extent that we give ourselves to Krishna. So we have to become intelligent and realize, why am I continuing on in this miserly consciousness, identifying with this body, thinking the possessions of the body are mine? We have to kick out these false conceptions with boot. See, everything is property of Krishna. Engage everything. Every thought, word, and deed, in all times, places, and circumstances should be fully absorbed in Krishna's service. That brings us to the liberated platform. One does not have to go back to Godhead to be liberated. You can be a liberated soul even here if we can just give up our nonsense and become serious about bhakti with every thought, word, and deed in all times, places, and circumstances. That's already liberation. To see everything in relation with Krishna and engage everything in the service of Krishna, that's liberation. So we can practice that right now, here today, you see. December 29th, 2016. We can practice it right now, you see. See, everything is the property of Krishna. And everything, therefore, should be used for the pleasure of Krishna. This consciousness is called Krishna consciousness. Perhaps you've heard that term before. Krishna consciousness. Yeah. It's not just a slogan. It's scientific. It precisely describes the perfectional state of consciousness. And one dovetails everything with the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So if we are followers of the Krishna consciousness movement, this means our prime focus, therefore, should be on perfecting our Krishna consciousness. If we're not cultivating Krishna consciousness, who will? You see? We're the members of the Krishna Consciousness Society, so we should be the ones who, obviously, we're the ones who are supposed to be cultivating Krishna consciousness. It's our life's business, it's our career. This is our career path. Cultivate Krishna consciousness. So it's not difficult. Prabhupada has made it very easy. He's given us everything we need to easily become Krishna conscious. Prasadam, devotee association, deities, unlimited services to do for spreading the Sankirtan movement, book distribution, Harinam, Prasad distribution, cultivation programs, beautiful projects like Mayapur, Vrindavan, so many things he's given us. If we just take advantage of these wonderful gifts of Srila Prabhupada, fully take advantage of them, then to become Krishna conscious will not be difficult. We just have to be fully convinced that material sense gratification will never satisfy me. Never. I've been engaged in material sense gratification for millions and billions of lifetimes, but still I'm unhappy, you see. What we will gain from material sense gratification, not even a pinch of satisfaction. Simply the illusion of satisfaction is there. So we have to kick out that illusion by hearing from Srimad Bhagavatam, by hearing from Srila Prabhupada, by hearing from realized devotees. We have to kick out this false identification with the material body and thinking that material sense gratification can satisfy us. If we're serious about this process, then we'll become very, very ecstatic. And we become happy to the extent that we're serious about spiritual awakening. We're not interested in the so-called flickering happiness of material sense gratification, which is feverish so-called happiness. We're interested in the actual happiness of awakening the divine consciousness within the heart, of actually coming to a pure loving relationship with that all-beautiful, all-powerful, all-renounced, all-knowledgeable, all-wealthy and famous personality who's standing in the bank of Keshigat playing the fifth note on the flute to attract the gopi girls to dance with him. That's what we're interested in here. We have no other interest here. No other, except one other interest, and that is to spread this Krishna consciousness movement. But here in the Singha, Hridayena Singha, Prabhupada elaborates on the meaning that may Lord Nrisimhadev dwell within my heart, killing all of my bad propensities, so my mind may become completely clean and I can bring peace to the entire world. This is the translation that Prabhupada gives of Bahir Nrisimha Hridaye Nrisimha. I want to, that Nrisimha will fully manifest within my heart. Krishna Nrisimhadev will fully manifest within my heart, driving out all the crud, all the lust, all the anger, all the illusion, the anger, the envy. May it all be dispersed. May I become completely peaceful within my own heart. So then I can fully embrace the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to give Krishna consciousness to all the suffering souls of this material existence. So we have only two businesses. Bahir Nrisimha, Hridaye Nrisimha. Krishna within, Krishna without. Fully Krishnize my within, fully revolutionize my within, and fully revolutionize the without, this material existence. As far as we can do. Maybe I can make one devotee. Yeah. Maybe I can make two. Maybe I can distribute some books. You see. Whatever I can do, you see, let everyone participate in this mission, spreading Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada was very, very appreciative of the motto of Indian Railways that every employee must see that the wheel on the train is turning. So every ISKCON devotee must see this movement is going forward to spiritualize the whole planet, at least this planet. You see, we should all see how this movement is going forward to bless the people of this age of Kali who are suffering like anything, caught up in sense gratification. I mean, it's just getting so much more and more hellish every day. how much things have disintegrated since I was a kid. I mean, it's just shocking if I think back how it was in the 50s and how it is now. It's absolutely shocking what's happening on this planet, you see. And it will continue to degrade more and more unless our movement can actually become a predominant influence on this planet, you see. Then they will reverse. So that is our duty, to distribute the books, to ecstatically sing and dance on the streets, to have wonderful programs here at the temple, to cultivate people. We have to turn the tide of the times away from Kali back to Krishna. This is our duty as members of Prabhupada's movement. So perhaps there's some questions, I can try to answer them. Yes.
Gave special emphasis to Maya.
To
Maya.
Maya.
Maya. Okay.
I was wondering if you could expand what you were thinking.
I'm trying to remember what I was saying here to Maya. Yeah. Gave special emphasis to Maya.
What I was thinking was Ma is Maya. Ya is that. No.
The false conception of possession?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's deeply ingrained within us. That false sense of, it's actually envy of Krishna. The false sense of proprietorship comes out of envy of Krishna, because Krishna is the true proprietor. Any sense of proprietorship that I have within my own heart is due to my envy of Krishna. I want to take his position as the owner. So possessiveness is actually a manifestation of envy, Krishna. So we have to realize that being envious of Krishna is suicidal for the living being. It's like the hand not wanting to feed the belly because he's envious. Why the belly gets to digest the food and not me? Is it? We have to realize our satisfaction is to satisfy Krishna. That's how we become satisfied. So why be envious? It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense at all to be envious. We should intelligently realize that it is to my greatest benefit to serve Krishna or God. When I serve Krishna, I become satisfied. I can satisfy all living entities, actually, just by serving Krishna. Why do we get so much attached to Maya even after hearing Bhagavatam again and again? It's deeply ingrained in us, this tendency to enjoy separately from God. And the material society is reinforcing it at every step. Wherever we go, it's being reinforced. That's why we have to detach ourselves from the material civilization and attach ourselves to Vedic civilization, where that tendency is reduced gradually to nil. It's easy to say I'm not this body, but difficult to practice and realize it. Yes, but if you follow the principles of sadhana bhakti, you will realize it in due course. Devotees who are chanting Hare Krishna for their whole life also struggle with this issue. So we have to embrace the struggle. It's a glorious struggle. We shouldn't shy away from the struggle of spiritual awakening. We should embrace it ecstatically, the struggle to conquer over the mind. What is the best way to realize and practice that I'm not this body? Just by following our program, 16 rounds, the regulative principles, becoming initiated disciple, working cooperatively to serve Prabhupada's mission. These activities will factually situate you in Brahman realization in due course of time and Bhagavan realization. Even after chanting, associating with the devotees, and following the regulative principles, if we don't become pure at the time of death, where do we go? If you're sincerely trying your best, Prabhupada told Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he said, just give this one life in the service of Lord Chaitanya. If anything is lacking, he will cover for you at the time of death. If you make that sincere effort your whole life to become pure in your heart and to serve the mission of Lord Chaitanya, you'll be okay. But even if there's some discrepancy, then you'll take birth again to continue practicing Krishna consciousness in your next life. Any more questions? How can we look after what we have without sounds and looks overprotective? In other words, how can I take care of what Krishna has given me to use in his service without thinking that I'm the owner? We have to see that whatever I've been given, whatever my body, my paraphernalia, my home, whatever I may have, you see, whatever I've been given, it has actually been given to me by Krishna to use in his service. It's like in the military, and I don't know about Australia, but in the U.S. they call it GI, government issued. Your clothes are issued by the government. Everything you have is government issued, GI. They call them GIs, and the soldiers are called GIs in the U.S. because everything they have is government issued. They have no personal property. But you have to take very good care of your equipment. It belongs to the government. Your rifle, your clothes, your bunk bed, your helmet, it's all GI, government issued. But you have to take, your commanding officer, make sure that you're taking first class care of it. So in the same way, we have to see that whatever I have is all given to Krishna, to me, for use for his service, not for material sense gratification. And I should take first class care of it. I feel it very difficult to overcome sex desire. Well, join the club. We're all facing that difficulty. That's why we're stuck here in the cycle of birth and death. But it becomes easy if you take shelter of Krishna. Krishna is called Madan Mohan. Madan is Cupid, the one who shoots those little arrows in the heart, those arrows of lust. You see? But Krishna is the attractor of Cupid. You take shelter of Madan Mohan, the attractor of Cupid, he will divert Cupid away from you and you get free from this tenacious disease called lust. I also find it very difficult to overcome my anger. Well, you have to learn to be tolerant more than a tree. We do become angry at those who blaspheme the Lord. That is the proper utilization of anger. But for other things, we're very tolerant, thinking, well, whatever I'm getting is what I deserve from my previous activities, so let me just accept it without being disturbed. How do you know that God is alive? Well, Prabhupada told me that God is alive, and I could see that Prabhupada was really alive. And by following this process, I'm becoming alive more and more as time goes by. I've been doing this for 45 years and I'm becoming more and more alive over the years. So that convinces me that Krishna is alive because I'm becoming alive by chanting his names. You see? Is the family not based on bodily relationship? If not, then we should be able to love everyone. Actually, we're all one family. All living entities. We're all the children of Krishna, all living entities throughout all of existence. We're all one family. What was your most memorable event of this year? Well, that Harinam we had in Melbourne the other day was absolutely incredible, I have to admit. Wow. That was really something. You guys really know how to do Harinam here. I was so enlightened to be out with the Melbourne devotees. Y'all really know what is Harinam here in Melbourne. And Ani Rudifer was really inspired you nicely. What is your most cherished pastime of the year? Come on, same question. Okay. And why do we see it's so common in ISKCON for both wise men and husband to work outside, even with having children? What is advisable? Well, according to Vedic culture, the wife stays at home. The husband goes out and works, and the wife doesn't go out to work. That's Vedic culture. The more you can do that, actually, it's good. Now, it may not be practical in some situations. Maybe you got a mortgage. It takes I'm just saying there may be some difficulties to do that practically, but ideally, that's the way to go. I never could tolerate the idea of sending my wife out to work. To me, she's a goddess. I couldn't send her to work as a sudra in some office. I just couldn't stomach the idea of sending my wife to work in an office under karmis. I couldn't fathom it. I never did that, even though we didn't have much money. I never sent her out to work. When our body is in distress, even a slight hurt or disease, we are deliberately forced to think on the bodily platform. Yeah, it's tough, you know. It's tough. You got a backache and you identify with it. It's tough. What do you do? We have to keep reminding ourselves, I'm not this body, I'm not this body, I'm not this body. If I come from Mangalarti, I start feeling sleepy. Well, then try dancing more enthusiastically. I'm more sleepy in Bhagavatam. Well, stand up. If you're falling asleep in Bhagavatam, stand up or take notes. Bring a notebook and take notes. That can help you to stay awake too. Taking notes is a good trick. What's more important, Bhagavatam or Mangalarti? They're both more important. How do I find my life purpose within the Krishna consciousness? Your life purpose is Krishna consciousness. That's all. And within that, well, you have your spiritual master, you have temple authorities, you work in harmony with them, you work under their directions, and in this way, you become perfect. Any more questions? When doing service for the Lord, even if I understand that this is only by His mercy, I still feel like, wow, I am the doer. Instead of being grateful, how to get rid of this arrogance and be humble? Yeah, I really led a good kirtan, or I really fired up the devotees by that class or whatever. This is how you become fallen. You start thinking you're the doer. When I should think it's only by the grace of Krishna that I can do anything. I mean, I can't even get up in the morning except by the grace of Krishna. You see? You have to always give credit to Guru and Krishna for everything. And that way you'll be on the safe side. Prabhupada said, they say that I have accomplished something wonderful, but actually I have not accomplished anything. He says, if I can take any credit at all, it is simply that I'm completely surrendered to my spiritual master. That's the only credit that Prabhupada would take for anything that he accomplished. It's all by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. It's not my doing. My only credit is, if I have any credit at all, he said, if I have any credit at all, it is simply that I've followed the order of my spiritual master. Seeing the past few years of my progress, I see that each day I become more and more negative, finding faults in everything and everyone. I don't think you're finding faults in yourself. That's your problem. You see, we're all fault finders. So if you will take that propensity and apply it to yourself, then you develop proper vision. We have a tendency to apply it to others, proudly find faults in others, you see, without seeing them in ourselves. That's when you get into big trouble. But if you will take your fault-finding propensity and look at your own faults, sometimes I get my neophyte disciples arrive at me, well, Gurudev, you know, I'm here, and the leader did this and they did that, and they just complain. The problem is, you see, they aren't looking for their own faults. If you can look for your own faults, very honestly see how rotten and despicable you actually are compared to the standard of pure bhakti, then you'll start to appreciate the devotees, how wonderful they actually are, is it? So the way to get over this fault-finding propensity is apply it to yourself. I mean, you're not a Paramahamsa yet. Let's face the facts. You see? You're not seeing, at least I know, I'm not seeing Krishna face-to-face, eye-to-eye, even though Prabhupada told me I should become qualified to do that. I'm not there yet, you see? I have that because I have so many faults. I have so much contamination in my heart, I'm not seeing Krishna face to face. So, if I can see my own faults, you see, honestly look at my own despicable lack of Krishna consciousness, then I can appreciate the devotees. How much I'm blessed by their association, you see. So this is the key. You gotta look for your own faults. You have to. Otherwise you're on the verge of falling down. You're already fallen, actually. All you can see is the faults of others. You can't see your own faults. Any more questions? There's nothing else we can adjourn. Huh? Well, let's see if there's any from the internet. Here's from Kashmir, a question has come in. What are the chances that one may take up the process again immediately? Wait, must be a continuation. Let's see. What are the chances that one may take up the process again immediately, and upon what factors it depends? That's an incomplete question. So I...
You were mentioning in response to a question what happens in the next life if we don't complete.
What she said?
The former question.
Yeah, the former question.
Yeah.
Maybe previously this one.
Fear of God. What was the result if we don't complete this
one? Okay, if you don't complete within this life.
Yeah. What are the chances of again taking it up if you don't? If you don't become perfect and go back to God in this lifetime. If you're fully absorbed to the best of your ability, but you have some, you know, at the last moment your mind goes somewhere else, then you may take birth again. If you get diverted at the very end, just like that example Prabhupada gave of the sage who told the king that actually, my dear Lord, my dear Master, sex desire remains up to the very end of life, and the king didn't believe it. So, one day the Brahmana, he said, Your Majesty, come with me now and bring your daughter with you. So there was a man dying on his deathbed, and the king comes in. His own king is there, but see, instead of acknowledging the king, he immediately looks to see the daughter, you see. So that tendency is there, that sex desire is there. So that's one thing that can really hold us back if our mind is diverted by sex desire at the last moment. So let's say there was some, you know, thought like that at the last minute. You think of some woman, well, you come back as a woman in the Krishna Ganges movement. Or you think of a man, you come back as a man like that. You could. So, therefore we have to really be sincere about pure devotional service, understanding there's nothing that will satisfy me except for pure devotional service. It's the only thing that can actually satisfy me. We have to be absolutely convinced there is nothing that can satisfy me anywhere in this whole material existence except for pure devotional service. If that conviction is there, you'll be in good shape. But if you have some doubts about that and you think something else can satisfy you, the time of death, you have some doubts about it, you could take birth again. How can I completely surrender? Well, the Rupa Goswami explains it in great detail in the Nectar Devotion. Take shelter of Guru, get initiated, obey him, and there's so many rules and regulations. If you follow the directions given in the Nectar Devotion by Rupa Goswami, as Prabhupada has given us, and faithfully carry them out to the best of your ability, then that will bring you to the point of pure devotional service, total surrender. The symptoms of surrender are mentioned in the scriptures. To have feel completely dependent on the Lord is one of them. I have no shelter except for Krishna. There's nothing in the material world that can actually give me shelter. Material world is dur ashray, false shelter. My only protection is Krishna. One has that conviction. You see? That is one of the symptoms. If I don't have a spiritual master yet, well, we all have Prabhupada as our spiritual master. He's the Siksha Guru for every ISKCON devotee. So if you will sincerely follow the instructions of Srila Prabhupada to the best of your ability, then Krishna will reveal to you from where you should eventually take your diksha. There are many sincere devotees who are preaching on behalf of Srila Prabhupada, and if you sincerely serve his instructions to the best of your ability, then Krishna will guide you where you should go. You see, where you should take initiation, that's not difficult. You simply have to be determined that I must fully surrender myself to Krishna. And then Krishna will reveal everything to you. Tesham satata yukta nam bhajatam priti puravakam tadami buddha yogam tam yenamam upayanti te. To those who were constantly worship me with devoted and worship me with love, I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. So it's not difficult to know, you know, who you should take your initiation from. That will come automatically within your heart when you are fully surrendered to Krishna, fully dedicated to following Prabhupada's teachings on how to be a devotee of Krishna. If you have that conviction, then Krishna will make it very clear. If someone says, well, I've been going for 20 years, I can't decide who I should take initiation from, it means you're not serious about surrendering, that's all. One who is actually serious to how to surrender to Krishna, Krishna will give them all intelligence. You do this, do that, do this, and do that. It become very clear for them. So I don't see any other questions. See,
there are some from yesterday.
Some from yesterday? Well, where are they? Is it good to go to the office with tilak on your on our forehead? Well, depends on your office. You could get fired. The office I was working in, my boss, he saw that I did a better job when I wore tilak, so he told me to wear it every day. So it really depends on your job. I'm having difficulty in prioritizing my life. I know that Krishna consciousness should be my priority, but when it comes to practical life, my priorities change. What should I do to keep my priority as Krishna consciousness? Well, if you chant every day, Hare Krishna mantra very nicely, follow these principles, if you'll hear Bhagavatam every day, even if you have to hear it on a recording on the way to work in the car, and you hear the philosophy, Bhagavatam philosophy every day, that will always, if you do that, nityam bhagavata sevaya, then you'll be able to keep your priorities straight. What is the basic quality to be a good devotee? Sincerity. I find it difficult to overcome sleep, and tend to sleep a bit too much. How do I overcome that? Don't eat so much. How to serve the pure devotee nicely? By asking him, how can I please you? How does one get diagnosed with food allergy, although the food is consumed is offered to Krishna? Well, if you're allergic to certain foods, even though it's prasadam, then you have to avoid that prasadam which gives you allergic reactions, and just take that prasadam which doesn't give you allergic reactions. Why do we need a guru? We can read books and go back to Godhead. Well, the books say you need a guru, so what are you reading? I'm a student studying in Melbourne. My parents are well off, but my ego does not allow me to ask them for financial support. I'm currently doing 3 part-time jobs. One of my jobs involves selling meat pies. Will I accrue karma for this action, and how can I surpass this? Don't be so proud to not get financial help from your parents. And better to get financial help from your parents than to sell meat pies. Can a devotee aspire to be the chief financial officer or financial director at the same time remain in Krishna consciousness? Sure. If you want to become more successful in the material world and you're using that success in Krishna's service, Prabhupada explains a Krishna conscious businessman can aspire to be the wealthiest businessman in the whole world. So certainly you can aspire to be the CFO or this of the corporation. I have some disciples who are in big corporate leadership positions. It's very heavy. It's intense. They had to work so hard. But some of them have a nature like that, and they want to work in that way, so they do it. So it's okay. If you have a nature to want to, they have a big corporate position, you want to use that for Krishna, use that money and everything for Krishna, then it's okay. How do we respond to comments that doing good deeds and being honest is far more important than following the path of bhakti? Well, it depends on the person's mentality. And there's no one set answer how to deal with a specific question. You have to see the mentality of the person you're speaking to. You have to somehow make it relevant for them in the way you answer it. So you have to judge the mentality of that person. There's many ways you could answer that, depending on the mentality of the person. Doing good deeds. Well, what is the actual good deed then? That's one way of dealing with it. What is an actual good deed? A good deed is what is beneficial for all living entities. You see? If it's not beneficial for all living entities, it's not purely a good deed. So the only thing that's actually beneficial for all living entities is surrender to Krishna. So ultimately, the only really good deed is Krishna consciousness. Everything else is tinged with badness to various degrees. That's one way of answering it. Of course, it's a pretty high philosophy, but depends on the person you're speaking to. How to develop patience and tolerance in difficult situations? By cultivating patience and tolerance when you're not in difficult situations. When was your most intense time in Krishna consciousness? How did you overcome that? Wow, that's an interesting question. Well, I know one intense time we thought we were going to be killed in an automobile accident. We were that's one example of an intense moment. We were coming back from preaching in North Texas, and a blizzard came in. One of those North Texas blizzards came in, and the highways become completely iced over. And we got all the way. It was so bad you couldn't even get off the highway. Anybody who tried to get off the on-ramp would get stuck in the snow. But there was enough traffic on the main road that it kept the snow down. So we just stayed on the main road the whole way. Luckily, there was a gas station right on the road itself. You didn't have to get off the road to get to the gas station. We were able to refuel. We made it all the way back to the precincts of Dallas in Fort Worth, which is the city next door to. But then this idiot, I thought I'd take a shortcut. I don't know why. It's the biggest mistake I ever made. I meant to, let me take that shortcut from Dallas to Fort Worth. A little county road, you know. I don't know what was in my brain at that time. We got on that little county road, and it was pure ice. Pure ice. And it had a drop-off on each side. A big drop-off on each side. And sure enough, the car went into a spin. Since we got on that road, it did 270 degree spin. We were going like this, and it went like that, 270 degrees, and we were flying off the road backwards. The car was flying through the air, and we knew this is it. Mataji and I knew it's all over. Within just a few seconds, we're going to leave our bodies. As soon as there's impact, we're flying through the air in our car. As soon as there's impact, it's all over, and we're going to be dead. We knew it was all over, finished. So she was going Hare Krishna, and I was going to Sringadeva. Now Sringadeva! Getting ready, you know, for the impact and be dead on impact, right? But there was so much snow that it was like a pillow. We landed a pillow of snow. It completely cushioned the shock of landing. The car landed in this pillow of snow, and there was not a scratch. We didn't bang our heads on the windshield. I mean, it was like the car wasn't even, not even a little scratch anywhere on the car. It was unbelievable. So that was one of the most intense moments I had, and we thought, this is it. It's all over now. Krishna! Nrisimhadev! Finished. But there was that pillow of snow. Well, when it gets intense, you just got to call out for the Lord. That's all you can do. There's nothing else you can do. I couldn't steer the car. We're flying through the air backwards. There's nothing you can do except, Krishna! You see? Another case, another intense moment is one time the temple was robbed. We were doing milk prasadam, you know. Some armed bandits came in. They'd already gone to the kitchen. They knocked the devotees cold. Actually, Dharmadas pretended like he was not cold so they wouldn't hit him again. They tied him up in the kitchen. They came over to rob us in the prasadam room. And again, I yelled out, Nishringadev. They came in and they had a gun at the Brahmachari's head. They hit her hand and I said, heard the gun at her head, and they said, everybody get down on the floor. It was heavy. Then one guy had a rifle, and he had a stocking over his face. He said, get down, everyone get down on the floor. And all the devotees got on the floor, but I didn't get on the floor. I was sitting on the stairs looking down on the whole scene, and I just yelled out, Nrisimhadev! Like that. Again, I thought Nrisimhadev, you see. And, well, that Brahmachari was relieved of the gun because now it was pointed at me. But what to do now? I got the gun pointed at me, and these guys look pretty vicious, you know. Two guys with a pistol and a rifle. They look pretty vicious. And I just said, well, I'm going to negotiate, you know. I said, we're your friends. What do you want? He said, the money. Where's the money? Well, the money was right through the door. There was no sign, but the temple treasury had joined the Bishadam room. They didn't know that, okay? But our temple president just happened to come out. He was in the treasury with the temple, the treasurer. He just said, well, it's time for milk, Bishadam. Let me go out and take Bishadam. He opens the door, and he beholds a scene where these two bandits have us all holding us hostage with their guns. He comes out of the store, Abhiram Prabhu. He comes out of the door, and he goes, but Abhiram is a cool, he's a very cool thinker. Abhiram Prabhu is one of the coolest brains I've ever met in my whole life. He looked at this scene, he turned around and walked back into the treasury, and the gunman didn't like that he was leaving. He chased him with a gun and hit him on the head with a pistol and cut his head. He didn't knock him out, he just cut as a superficial cut. He cut him on the head with a gun. But Abhiram is very smart. He said out loud, we could all hear it, it was very clear, he said, he told the temple treasurer, there was actually a gun in the treasurer's desks. He said, get the gun and shoot the bastard. That's all they had to hear. As soon as I heard that, they didn't even see the gun. They ran scared like rabbits as soon as they heard that. And of course, in those days, you do whatever the temple president says, right? So the Yadavacharya grabbed that gun, he came in and pow! He missed. It went into the wall. It didn't hit any devotee. He shot the gun. Pew, into the. So that was a pretty intense moment also. That the night of the armed robbery at ISKCON, Miami. But again, I chant in Nrisimhadev, you see. I don't know why I'm inclined to chant in Nrisimhadev when there's danger, but that's my nature, I guess. So when you're in difficulty, chant Krishna, chant Nrisimhadev, chant the name of the Lord when you're in difficulty and everything will be all right. So we'll stop here. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaura Prema Nandi.